Well, I think you'll like it. It's 2010 census.gov. It has a variety of interactive features. One of the things I like is on the very front page, there's what's called a marquee, a picture of people who are actually engaged in conversations. And if you move your mouse over one of the figures, you'll hear the conversation, and it's all about questions and issues that are real people's issues about the decennial census, and the answers are right there. I'll have a blog where I'll attempt to keep people up to date on how we're doing and preparing for things. And then there are a lot of facsimiles of the forms and language guides. This is a website that will eventually have support for a lot of different languages, up to 59 different languages will have material on it to reach all the diverse subpopulations of the country.
And I wanted to ask, and by the way, I'm looking at the site, and it's a lovely view of a nice summer day on the National Mall. It's a good way to open a website, you know. It brings us back to summertime and the easy living. And by the time you get around to the count, it's going to be April. And I was wondering, just given all of the side issues surrounding this census, between the last-minute proposals for changes in questionnaire or the issues around the handheld computers, it's been a tough one. Do you feel this is pretty normal for the way the political process works before the census, or do you think this year has been maybe a little tougher than some of the earlier decennial counts?
Well, if you study the history of censuses, it happens every 10 years that large groups of people realize the political impact of census figures. And because of that, they renew interests and debates that are part of the society for decades. So this is not unusual, I think, seeing it right now. I wish, actually, that the attention to the census could be maintained throughout the whole decade at the same level.
Yeah, that's, you know, probably what we all wish, that everybody would have as much of a boring interest, not boring, boring, but, you know, boring interest in...
B-O-R-I-N-G.
Yeah, there you go, in our issues, but it seems to wax and wane. But one issue that seems to be heading the pack is this issue of fingerprinting, Dr. Groves. And I know that you've fingerprinted many of the census workers that have brought on board, that you brought on board to do the census, but some of them weren't able to match up. So tell us the latest on that fingerprinting issue.
Well, we're actively working on that right now. Let me give you the facts, because it's important to know what we've done. In the 2000 census, we did no fingerprinting at all. We submitted a name to the FBI database, and on that basis did a criminal check. We're doing that again. We're submitting names. Everyone we've hired has passed that name check. But in addition to that, after you pass the name check, we're doing fingerprints. And in our first effort to do that, not all people achieved readable fingerprints. This is a problem that's inherent, but we could probably get better at it. And the kind of people who have trouble getting readable fingerprints are older folks and women for some reason. And so we have a set of people that are just harder to get reads on. We're doing better at that. We're improving our training procedures. We're working really quite closely with the FBI, and the American public can be assured that everything we're doing follows the guidelines of OPM in the hiring of enumerators who will go out and talk to all of us.
Have you made a decision about going back and rechecking the people who you weren't able to read?
We are indeed doing that, That's helping to a great extent, but we're still having trouble with some folks, and we're now discussing how we could even improve on that work.
And looking at it in reverse, and that is the danger to some of the census workers that might be coming from people opposed to the census or just to the presence of the federal government for whatever reason, what steps do you think you'll be taking now, between now and April, to make sure that you mitigate those dangers?
Well, we've reviewed our safety training procedures that we give all the enumerators before they go out. This is something we take really seriously, because in contrast to most jobs in life, our our folks go to every possible place in this country, and some of the places do indeed generate safety concerns. So we've redoubled those. We have a lot of procedures that allow our enumerators to just back off, retreat from a situation where they feel uncomfortable, and then we figure out other ways to get into that. One of the things we're doing for the decennial census that we found to be very useful in this regard is we're hiring locally. When we need to follow up non-response in a local community, we'll attempt to hire people who come from that community, who look like the community, who are familiar with the streets and the byways, and we think that, too, will help.
We're talking this morning to Dr. Robert Groves. He's the director of the Census Bureau and, of course, then directing the 2010 census count, which starts in April. And, you know, one of the areas that I know that you were concerned about with the census was this whole idea of, you know, whether we count every person or whether we estimate the count. That's always a discussion that goes on behind the scenes. And, you know, you have in the past indicated that you would, you know, you'd be open to the idea of the estimation. Do you think that is going to hold true for the census, or do you think it'll be an every person's nose counted?
Well, it's going to be an every person's nose counted for sure. This is an absolutely unambiguous thing this decade because there was a Supreme Court ruling that essentially took that option off the table. So my job and the job of my colleagues right now is to make sure that all of us return our forms, and if you don't, we'll go out and try to interview you in person to the far ends of the country.
And to that extent, there was a survey that you did that showed that people are a little less likely to return their forms this year just because of various, you know, feelings about the federal government. So how do you counteract that?
Well, it's an interesting thing. It's happening worldwide, actually, Jane, that in richer countries of the world, the participation of the public is declining in surveys. So it's a big problem that we worry about a lot at the Census Bureau because we're doing a lot of different surveys. One of the things that we're doing to counteract that, you'll begin to see in January. And that will be an advertising campaign, a paid and public service advertising campaign that will really be something. The campaign itself will exist in about 28 different languages. It will spend more money proportionally in local areas than nationally, but you'll see a lot of national ads. And the message of that campaign is really to note that this is a pretty easy census to do. This is one of the shortest in history. We're estimating that it should take only about 10 minutes for each household to fill this out. We'll have about 7 to 10 questions per person. It's really a simple thing. And then it's safe, especially for populations that are new to our country, may not know how censuses work. We can guarantee people that the data they provide will never be shared with any other government agency. We have a very tough law on that one that repeatedly has shown to be better than any other counteraction that exists in other agencies.
And with the questionnaire being shorter and fewer questions, does that ease the requirements you have on the processing facilities that you need to come up with the count? And I also was wondering whether you begin the processing as the first forms come in, or is it all done after they're all in as one big batch?
Oh, it'll be real-time processing. I just am traveling around the country looking at our different facilities, and I was in one of our big processing centers and watched one of the early steps of the census that's not the census form itself using those same scanners. And you cannot believe how quickly and efficiently these things process things. So as soon as you mail your form back in late March or early April, we'll get it and we'll scan it in hopefully within hours. So we're building a data set right away, almost real time.
And Dr. Groves, I know there was some disappointment about those handheld devices that are now using to check addresses, and that has gone pretty well for you. But, you know, if you had to look into the future and see the future of the census, you know, 10 years from now, would you say there will be a handheld device in the future?
Well, the use of electronic communication and data capture in the census must go forward. I've told others I can't imagine a 2020 census without some use of the Internet. But as soon as I say that, I have to remind us all that none of us have any idea what the Internet is going to look like in 2020. It could have capabilities that we can't even imagine now. So the trick for a scientific agency like the Census Bureau is to stay light on our feet on technology and be adaptive, be able to take advantage of the latest in order to stay current with the wonderful technological innovation that comes to us every day.
But with the paper forms, are those kept after the after they're scanned and processed? Do those get kept for a certain period of time?
No, they'll be kept for a certain period of time to make sure we've captured the data correctly. Absolutely. We have a variety of edits and checks that will be done. But once we pass that step, we will shred them. And indeed, a good thing for your listeners to know that the proceeds from the shredded paper go to help child care facilities in the federal government.
Really?
And how about all that confetti? Is that used on parades at all, do you know? Or?
No, I think that's recycled into probably the next census form.
Well, that's really interesting. And how much money do you know? How much money it actually gets turned over?
I have no idea. That's a good number to keep in my head. Sorry, I don't have it.